Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn in them this morning to the book of 2 Peter.
What do you think? That's working?
All right. Cool.
We have spent about 17 weeks looking at 16 subjects. Those 16 fundamental truths of the assemblies of God, inspired word of God, one true God, deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church and its mission, the fall of man, the salvation of man, the ordinances of church, water baptism and Lord's Supper, sanctification, the ministry, divine healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the initial physical evidence of baptism in the Spirit, the blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the millennial reign of Christ. Last week, Pastor Steve shared with us about the final judgment. And this morning, I get to wrap up this series of messages talking to you about the new heaven and new earth. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture this morning, so I will tell you where we're at. You can follow along with me, and it'll probably keep you a little bit more awake. But I want to give to you what the Holy Spirit has given to me. And when I walk off here this morning, I want to know that I have shared with you what he laid upon my heart. And I've got to stay very close to this book in order to do that this morning. So, okay, read along with me. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that you promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. Amen. I hope that you're looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth, the home of the righteous. Peter speaks of that day of destruction there in verse 10. He says, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, then he asks the question, what kind of people should we be? Pretty good question for us to have before our minds this morning as we anticipate a new heaven and a new earth. In 2 Peter 3:13, he says, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. What promise? Well, in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus lays out through parables there a beautiful picture of what will lead up to this. You've got the parable of talents. You've got the parable of the 10 virgins. We're not going to study those this morning, but I just remind you of them as we take a look at this, because we are living in that day that he was talking about. That day preceding the coming of the Lord. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's really easy for us to get focused on ourselves and upon our stuff. We've all got a lot of stuff, don't we? Things going on in our lives. I can't tell you how many people I have tell me, we're so busy. We're so busy. Even some who are retired. Just, my goodness, I just don't have even any time to rest. It's just like I keep going and going and going. I believe that the influx and availability of information that we have today, we carry it around with us. Instant access. I had to trade in my phone. The battery went crazy on my other one. It was going to cost as much to get a new battery as it did a phone. And so I got me another phone. And I cannot stop that thing from sending me every bit of news that's going on in the whole world. I've got everything shut off that I can possibly shut off, and it still go buzz on my side. And I think somebody's sending me a message, and I look at it, it's another piece of news from something that's happening in the world. It's no wonder we're exhausted. We're trying to handle the entire world in our finiteness, our smallness. We have a promise that the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back for those who are looking for him. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Keep that in mind, folks. In the rush of all things, in the, excuse this term, but vomit of information that we're having to deal with, because it's just being poured over us all the time, don't forget the Lord is coming back for those who are looking for him. That takes work. That takes energy. It takes focus for us to keep our eyes set. I think about Abram, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer wrote, he says, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was willing to leave and to go to a place he didn't understand. He was willing to inconvenience himself, if you will, because he was looking for heaven. That was Abram, probably 4,000+ years ago. John, the son of Zebedee, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote from the island of Patmos of what he saw in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I want us to draw into that this morning. So if you want to turn over there to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, I think it's interesting, in verse number 10 of chapter 22, the Spirit of the Lord said, "Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book, because the time is near." John wrote that in 90 AD. He says, "Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy." Why? Because the Lord is going to do what he said he would do. And we can't just give mental assent to that and say, "Yes, I believe that that's true. Yes, I believe in heaven. Yes, I'm going to go there one of these days. When I die, it's going to happen." Folks, you don't know when that day is. And we don't know when the Lord is going to step out of heaven and call home those who are looking for him. Once again, can I say to you, this needs, there is a necessity for our attention to these things. It's real. Turn and look at the person next to you. Don't say anything to him, but just look at him. You know, we kind of establish what is real by what we can see. And yet at the same time, there are many things that we adopt in our lives by faith that we cannot see. But we have an assurity of their presence by various forms. Let me just give you one, and that's electricity. You cannot see electricity, but you can definitely see its results. You with me? I know that the electricity is flowing into these light bulbs up here that give us light in this room. I know that my voice is being amplified by a system that is electrified. So therefore, I say, yes, I believe in electricity. I believe in heaven. I believe in the promise of the Lord that he's coming back. Why? Because I have seen the effect that his coming has on a life. I've seen individuals who are completely a mess be taken over by the power of God and transformed. There is nothing in this world that can do what God can do in a moment, in a life. So I'm just not sure whether this is all going to take place in this way. You have a better way? One that we could all stand upon? One that we could bank on? I'll set my trust right here. Now, see, I say this because millennials, those who fall into that, and those that have come after the millennials, I'm understanding and I'm reading that they just don't buy into any of this. They're actually saying that this is an old people's philosophy. One of these days, when faith becomes sight, when Jesus steps to the threshold of heaven and calls his church home, reality is going to be all over them. I don't care what generation they are. Allow me, if you will, for the next few minutes to share with you a couple of things. Just 2 points. The first one I want to share is the who of heaven, of the new heaven and the new earth. If you look in Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Pause. Do you realize that that's basically all, apart from what we read in 2 Peter, that's basically all that we have in regard to information of the dissolution or the dissolving of what exists today? We understand by the words of the Lord that it is going to be destroyed by fire. Because he says in the same way that it was destroyed before by water with Noah riding on top of it, it's going to be destroyed by fire. So, you know, everyone's concerned that man is going to destroy this earth. We need to be more concerned that God is going to destroy this earth. Hello? You see, church, how will they know except we tell them? One of the greatest witnessing tools that you have, relevant witnessing tools that you have today, is global warming and all that surrounds it. I don't know whether it's true or not. I'm not a scientist. I have no idea whether it's happening or whether it's not. I will not get into a debate about it because I am clueless. Okay? But what I know is that this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. So when an individual starts talking to me, oh, you know, man's going to destroy. No, man's not going to destroy this earth. We can make a mess of it, but we're not going to destroy it. It's going to be destroyed by judgment, the judgment of God, for the sinless acts of men that have perverted his creation. And even heaven itself is going to be destroyed because Satan has been there. In and out of there, rebellion, disobedience has traipsed up to the throne of God in heaven. It will all be destroyed according to the word. How? God. As soon as you can explain how he called all of this into existence, you can explain how he's going to take it out. All right, you're ready. Notice in verse number 3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them." Who's in heaven? God is. This new heaven and this new earth, God's going to be there. In verse number 5, it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new." He gives this further promise there. He says, they will be his people and God himself will be their God. Now think about it. We'll go on down here a little farther. He's going to say that there is no temple because God and Jesus will be there in the city. You and I, we won't have to pray to a God that we cannot see or a Jesus who has ascended into heaven. We'll be able to go and see him face to face. Used to sing a song, "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there to lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice." Heaven. God's going to be there. Verse number 6 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The Eternal One is going to be there. Now, can I tell you this morning that the who of heaven not only includes the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but all who overcome. Listen to what it says there. Pick up at verse number 6. "And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Verse 7, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Thank you, Lord. He who overcomes, she who overcomes. Overcomes what? All the temptations of this world, all the desires of our flesh, everything that will slow us or keep us from being there. Those who overcome will be there. I cannot see in this book, and I've studied it for a lifetime, I cannot see this book in this book any way that we can casually end up in heaven. You cannot take a word like overcomer and make it casual. Huh? Well, they have this terrible disease, but if they can overcome it, huh? They'll survive. We have this terrible disease of sin. If we can overcome it, you say, well, praise God, we overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But we also can get incredibly distracted from the truth of that and actually begin to live like we're in charge. Those who are going to be there are going to be those who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are giving them his attention. If truth, in truth, you cannot sing that song, even if you don't know it, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Can I tell you this morning, you need to do a spiritual checkup? Now, Pastor Bill can't save you. It's only by the grace of the Lord that any of us are saved. But folks, we've got to want to be where he is. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk just a moment here about the streets of gold and gates of pearl and all those kinds of things, but that really there has to be more than that. I don't believe that streets of gold or gates of pearl will save you from the distractions of this world. I believe it's only found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, I believe that a relationship with him is incredible. The value that we have here on earth, but oh my goodness, that is going to explode when we get to heaven. The Lord calls us who are going to be in heaven, thirsty. To him is thirsty, I will give to drink from the spring of the water of life. They're called God's sons. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Verse 7. They're called the bride, the wife of the Lamb in Revelation 21:9. They're called those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life in Revelation 21:27. Make sure your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. You see, you may be able to come to church on a husband or a wife's arm and nobody know the difference. But when you're standing in the presence of the Lord, as Pastor Steve preached last week, and the books are open and our lives are laid out, nothing is going to allow us entrance into this new heaven except that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I hope your name's written there. Those who make it up there are called his servants in chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. No longer will there be any curse. No curse of sin, no curse of death. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Hallelujah. Those of you that like tattoos, guess what's coming? The name of the Lord. And I love this. My Bible says he will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Those of you in this room that have a little bit of age on you, you're probably finding yourself like me. And that is, I'm really tired of saying goodbye to people that I love. Sorry. It's true. My dad, all his brother and sisters are all gone. Grandparents, all gone. Even most all of the cousins on my dad's side, first cousins, are all gone. And I'm young. I'm tired of saying goodbye to people that I love. I'm waiting for that day where I can say hello. Come on, church. Are you? Anybody else know what I'm talking about, or am I just talking to myself? Are you tired? I mean, we will go ahead and we will stand at the heads of the casket and we will greet people and we will go ahead, you know, as long as we're here on this earth, we will do our function. But I'm tired of saying goodbye. I'm ready for heaven, where there'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Hallelujah. For eternity, I will not have to go through another funeral. Praise God. You see, church, this is what we have to look forward to. This is what we should be concentrating on. This is where our focus should lie. Not on the stuff that is going to be burned up. Not on the stuff that's going to pass away. Not on the stuff that we're going to take off and leave one of these days if we're a follower of Christ. You see, it's so easy for us to just get bogged down into the necessities of life. I have a little booklet that is called The Tyranny of the Immediate. You know, that stuff that just keeps coming. It's so easy for us to get focused on that. The next doctor's appointment, the next this, the next situation, the next thing that's going, this, you know, how are we going to pay this bill? Oh, my goodness. Oh, look, the car just broke down. All of this junk. It's all going to be gone, folks. It only matters during this time right now because he has a day appropriated and planned for us, and we can look forward to that day where we're going to step into his presence and there's no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more dying, no more sickness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. See, that's what we're singing about. You may not realize that, but that's what these songs are all about. As we're walking through this, we are overcoming. We are conquerors through him who loved us. Praise God. But one of these days, there's not going to be any more to conquer. There's not going to be any more pain to overcome. There's not going to be any more bad reports to have to work our way through. See, that's his plan for us. That's the kind of God that we serve. You know, we hear all the time. Just this week, I heard on the national news, somebody make the statement, I don't know how God could allow this to occur. You think he's happy in heaven over what's happening on his earth? No, he knows that a day of judgment is coming. But he also knows that he has a people who are willing for him to be their God. And one of these days, they're going to be right with him. And he's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. And he's going to make a promise. From here forward, no more sorrow. No more pain. And praise God, no more saying goodbye. Amen? Amen. Does that interest any of you? Boy, it does me. I tell you what, you say, well, you're getting old. Let me tell you about the what. I told you about the who. Let me tell you about the what of the new heaven and the earth. Oh, this is incredible. And it would take a whole lot longer than 10 minutes, and so I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. I'll tell you where it's located, and if you got your Bibles open, you can see it right there before you, because I want you to realize this is right out of the Word of God. The existing in heaven and earth will cease to exist. Chapter 21, verse 1. I read that to you. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That word passed away means to go. It's gone. It is in the absolute sense that it is absolutely gone. Why is that important? It is important because he's not going to renovate. I think it's very important that we realize that that's the same terminology that he uses for wanting to make us a new creation. Hello? He wants to make us a new creation, not a renovated old one, but a brand new one. He wants to make our lives into something beautiful, something that belongs to Him. Would you agree with me this morning that God can do some incredibly beautiful things? Have you ever seen a sunset, you know, that just locked you in? This summer, I was on my way home and heading north toward Bloomington, and I look over to my left and there was this incredible sunset. And I'm driving along, and I thought, no, you can't do that. And I pull over to the side of the road. I thought, I'm going to look at this for a few minutes. And I found myself saying, thank you, Lord. And I actually told him he does good work. He and I talked that way. But I said, God, you do good work. That's beautiful. It's incredible. The old, that sunset's passed away. No more need, Gene, for a sun. No more need for a moon at night. I'll tell you why in a moment. He says, because everything is going to be kainos, qualitatively new, as contrasted with temporary nuos or naos, it is brand spanking new. Our God is going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. You say, wow, what's it all going to be like? He just tells us about one city and we can hardly scan that. He doesn't even tell us about what the heavens look like or what the rest of the earth looks like. He simply singles in, John does, and tells us about one city called the New Jerusalem. And in some spectacular way, he says there will be no longer any sea, S-E-A. And there's been a ton of discussion about what this means, and we can't really answer it. However, some say that there'll be no more oceans. But I have a problem with that because I've read the Bible. And the fact is that river of life that flows from under the throne of God is going to run down past the Arabah into the sea. And when it enters the sea, that fresh water is going to turn the salt water sweet. And the fish are going to grow enormously at that place where the fresh living water flowing from the throne of God enters the sea. So I say, sorry, there will be a sea on the new earth. Can't tell you what it looks like because the Lord didn't tell us what it looks like. But how incredible is that? You'll be able to freshwater fish in the ocean because of the water that's flowing from the throne of God. Well, let me don't get ahead of myself. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, verse number 10. I wish I had the time for us just to go through all of this because it's going to be cool. Rad. No? What's the word now? You don't even know. Well, you're no. What, kids? What is it? When something's really spectacular, what's the word today? What do you use? Now, you know, I very seldom call on them, right? Is there a word?
You got to ask them via text.
What?
You got to ask them via text.
Oh, I have to ask via text. No, okay. That's not going to happen. Okay, let's use good. It's going to be incredible. Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. See, this is what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said, I go to prepare a place. Well, hold on a minute. Let me back up. Because he said, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. When you're going through all the garbage of this world, you know, when your gutter falls off of the house, or all of a sudden you start noticing a wet spot in the living room ceiling. Come on. Or you go to flush the toilet and the handle falls off in your hand. Huh? Or you start seeing water in places there shouldn't be water in the house. How many live that life? Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. We used to sing at mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you. Then he says this, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? So that where I am, there you may be also. See, I told you, the who of heaven. He has gone to prepare this place. Now, just listen to a little bit. It shone with the glory of God, he says. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel. It has 12 gates with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The wall of the city has 12 foundations. On them are written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He gives us the measurements of the city. 1,400 miles one way. 1,400 miles the other way. And 1,400 miles the other way. That is a cube. 1,400 miles across. The wall was made of jasper. The wall was 200 feet high. The city is of pure gold, like pure glass. The foundations of the city are decorated with every kind of stone, with jasper and sapphire and chalcedonia, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz. One I've never heard of and can't hardly say, chrysopias. I can spell it for you. Jacinth, amethyst. Wow. 12 gates and each one a single pearl. The streets of the city are a pure gold like transparent glass. And here's where he says that there is no temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Some things that will never happen there, the gates will never be closed because there'll be no more night. Think of that, church. No more night. There are things about fall that are kind of neat when the trees turn and all of that, you know, and you can kind of enjoy it. But one thing I don't like is how dark it is when I wake up in the morning. And then it seems like it's dark just like that in the evening. Just think. No more night. No more sun, no more moon, because the glory of the Lord. Now, I don't know that we can even get our brains around this, because his glory and his presence is going to radiate out and shine over the whole earth. You say, well, how's that possible? Is the earth not going to be round? Well, no. But his glory is going to cover the earth. Then he also says, nothing impure will ever be brought into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those who are given the opportunity to occupy the city. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says it again. John actually repeats that, so it actually kind of influenced him over in chapter 22, verse number 5. He actually repeats, there will be no more night, right there in the middle of it. He was impressed by that. No more night. Out there on the island of Patmos, sent there because of his testimony of Christ, I'm sure he was thinking on that. One of these days, there'll be no more night. Let me end. Why don't we do this with you standing on your feet? In Revelation chapter 22, we read these words. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. John gives a personal note. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard them and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brother, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of this prophecy or the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I come. I am coming soon. My reward is with me. Hallelujah. When he steps forward and calls us home, that's it, folks. That's it. From that point forward, all we will know is the blessings of God forevermore. Those of you that have experienced revival and have tasted just a little bit of the presence of God in a house, just imagine when we are right there with him. It's a good thing that our bodies are transformed because the flesh could not handle it. I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences in the Lord where I thought I just can't take any more. It's just God's presence, God's power, just so overwhelming. Well, that's nothing compared to being in his presence. We're going to have glorified bodies. That's why he says we'll be changed. Glorified bodies. For a glorified heaven and a glorified earth and a place prepared just for those who are looking for the Savior. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go out through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now hear this, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.